to the 13th Warehouse. I'm Kim.
And I'm Vicky.
And this is Doug with the IMDb synopsis. Season 1, Episode 8, Duped. Pete's goofing around with Lewis Carroll's mirror creates a mishap in the warehouse with consequences for Micah. Artie has to send his agents out right away to discover how two small-time crooks are suddenly able to rake in millions at the casinos without raising any eyebrows. Created by Brent Moat and Jane Espenson, written by Derek A. Hughes and Benjamin Robb, directed by Michael W. Watkins, and the original air date was August 25th, 2009.
Okay, just stop, okay? Stop and think this through.
Guess what? I'm still taking the artifact.
I can't let you do that, Pete.
So turn around.
So as you heard, this is season one, episode 8, Duped. I'm just going to read the artifacts of the week, and there's actually three. Usually we have one and then a couple little ones, incidental ones, but there's three that are really in play for this whole episode. Mm-hmm. So first we have Lewis Carroll's looking glass. Lewis Carroll's looking glass is an immense mirror, taller than average human height, surrounded by an ornate gilt frame. The mirror may serve as a gateway to an alternate dimension, which could explain how Pete was able to play ping pong with himself. It is also possible that if others don't know to look for her, Alice can take on other appearances within the confines of the mirror. And then we had the Studio 54 disco ball. This artifact operates by trapping desires refracted by light, sound, sex, mind-altering drugs into a disco ball. When activated, it projects yearnings and cravings. It imparts a grim, stampeding inhumanity against anything decent. And then the poker chip, which I don't think I ever heard the name, but when I looked it up, there is a name. The poker chip is from the Jubilee Grand Casino, which gives its holder brief glimpses of the future in monochromatic visions marked by color splashed over particular objects every time the user rubs his finger across it. Considered a wishing artifact, the chip allows user to see a few seconds into the future, but causes him or her to suffer burn damage and psychological addiction as a result. Now, those three artifact descriptions I took, once again, from Warehouse Wiki. I think if I remember correctly, my notes went first last time, so we can start with yours.
Yeah, okay. So, like I said, Pete's one of my favorites because he's like a kid at heart. So, you know, he's playing ping pong because this is where some of the stuff starts. So, you know, Pete's still playing ping pong and stuff like that, and Micah's pulled in to the mirror and... But there's a Micah. Pete don't see it because they have fell. We know once the disco ball came into play, too. But even in that time before, let me jump back for a minute. Pete did ask her, was she still mad at Artie? Because they know that she turns to the right when she's mad. So that gives a clue later. But I kind of don't like the new Micah. But it gave her, to me, it was more confidence, more get out of my way. I guess a little bit more sexy. Even I know the tattoo on her leg.
Right.
You know, but there's the evilness behind it. Because that was Alice.
Yeah. That's in my notes too, that Pete mentions that Micah tilts her head to the right when she's mad at Artie. And then later on, when Artie finally realizes it is Micah, he apparently has noticed that about Micah. Because that's how he determined that was Micah, really Micah in the mirror.
Right.
He said the same thing. She pulls to the right or something. Because when she was yelling at him in the mirror, she was tilting her head to the right. So it's funny that both of them have noticed that about her without talking to each other.
Right. But I like, too, that at that time, too, her already had that heart-to-heart talk.
I feel sorry for you, actually.
Oh, why is that?
Because of all the things right in front of your face that you simply refuse to see.
Like what?
Like me.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite parts. She said all the things that she said to Lena and Pete last week, and that she doesn't trust him.
That I don't trust you. That I need you to tell me the truth. And to not treat me like some chess piece that you move around on a board that only you can see. That I am valuable. That I matter. and that I deserve to know everything I can about this world that you send me into every day, so at least I have a fighting chance.
But in the end, she says that over and above all that, she does like him, and she wants him to like her.
You know, in spite of everything, I like you. I think you're great. I want you to think the same of me.
Yeah, I thought that was nice. That was touching. I like that part. Yeah. And then after the other thing, and I go, oh my God, now, you know, when I see the couple and I see her, I go, oh my God, that's Joe.
Joe and Zane, yeah.
Zane, yeah. And I'm going, oh my God, you know, and I'm going, ha. But she always looks cute when she's dressed up anyway.
Yeah.
But I was cracking up, and I'm going, oh my God, it's Joe.
I know.
I don't even think I wrote their name down for who they really are.
So did I, because I had to, because I would probably keep calling them Joe and Zane.
Yeah.
Gary and Jillian Whitman.
Okay.
That was
okay.
Yeah.
Did it ever say why they were saving up the money?
Well,
and they had to get a certain amount.
Well, they're con artists and petty thieves. You know, he kept saying five kids and to send to college. I guess they're thinking of their future.
You're pushing our luck.
Yeah, and it's pushing right back.
Take a break.
I'm okay.
We've got enough. I mean, nobody's legs are getting broken. Everybody's paid off.
College for five kids won't be cheap.
We're having three. And that won't matter if you're not around for the honeymoon.
Oh, I'll be around. It's going to be the best years of our lives.
When she wanted him to stop, she said something about, we've paid off all our bills. That was the amount they set. I think it was a random amount, just so they could live comfortably and pay off their bills, and that was it. But I don't know. I don't think there was a reason for that amount. They just agreed on that amount.
Oh, okay. Well, then maybe they're just trying to clean up their life after that and just, you know, live comfortably.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like.
Yeah. The other thing, too, was, again with Pete, how him and Claudia are fighting over the game. Because Ari's trying to call a meeting to talk about Vegas and what's going on. And they're just still goofing around.
I wrote that down, too. They're fooling around like brother and sister. They've clicked immediately.
They're not even saying nobody really pays attention sometimes to each other. And I still think that sometimes that pisses me off. But then again, it's TV. Because you could tell the difference in Micah, even at the meeting.
You're right. And Claudia kept looking at her like she knew something was wrong.
Right.
And Artie should have known something was wrong.
Right.
Even Pete should have known something was wrong. And they all kind of looked at her separately. And it looked like they realized something was wrong, but nobody acted on it. And nobody said anything about it.
And that's the thing is, even when Artie was yelling at Claudia, it's like, I just want to be chill. It ain't that serious.
I think he's trying to protect her. I think he knows, we don't know yet, but I think he knows how dangerous this guy is. You're talking about when he's yelling at her about McPherson?
Well, yeah, but she wanted to do something. I thought it was because she wanted to help in Vegas.
No, because Mrs. Frederick won't let Artie look for McPherson, so she figured since Mrs. Frederick won't let Artie do it, she could do it, but Artie lost it. He's afraid this guy's dangerous, and he doesn't want Claudia to get hurt. Yeah. Is that the part you're talking about?
Yeah, that is the part.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He really went all out screaming at her and scared her to death. You could see her face.
He has the habit of doing that.
Yeah, he really apparently wants to keep her safe and doesn't want her involved in anything to do with him. Of course, we don't know what he's up to. I remember his character, but I don't remember what he's up to, and I don't remember anything about it. So the way Artie reacts, I have to assume he's extremely dangerous.
Well, right, and I can understand the reason why, because it's the artifacts, and they can wreak havoc on the world. And if he has some kind of knowledge, been an agent, the warehouse.
Yep.
So there's things he really knows. He even had the... oh, God. What's the zapper thing?
Tesla.
No, the Tesla. Yeah. You know, he had a Tesla. He had one of those. So there's stuff that he probably still has that we don't know. Like I said, I can't remember, but I don't know what he has.
Right.
Nobody may know what he has or information where other artifacts is that they don't even know about. No, and I understand he's dangerous and he might have other things going on.
So, what am I doing?
You mean, what are you doing?
Well, Lena told me Mrs. F is keeping you off the McPherson trail, so I mean, it doesn't mean I can't look for him. Prowl the
internet. I'm only going to say this once. Are you listening?
Yeah?
Back off! The man will kill you. Kill you! Understood?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
I liked also the Bloody Marys, or like the Red Rum, because, you know, there's certain things, kind of like that back and forth family thing and stuff like that.
Let's just ask her. It might have something to tell us. I mean, why can't we just talk to
it? Because we do not converse with reflected entities, okay?
Because
two words, Bloody Mary.
That's just an urban legend, though, right? Of course it isn't.
Shadows have power, and you let this thing speak, and there is no telling what could happen.
Oh, yeah, and then it was when Micah kissed Pete, or when Alice kissed Pete. Pete was blown away, but that was really funny.
I was just trying to keep her distracted. We're clear. I want him.
Sorry.
You follow the girl. I'll stay here. I'll call you if he comes out.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I can handle him if there's trouble.
All right. Okay. I'll call you if I catch anything.
I wrote this down, too. At one point, Pete tells Micah that he figured it out when she kissed him. Do you think he really figured it out that far back?
I don't know. Because when Artie was talking to him, was that before the kiss? Because I know she was listening.
And I wrote that down, too, because he's the one who gave her the earpiece. Did he forget that she could hear everything?
Maybe, but I don't think he really knew. I don't know.
I mean, maybe it occurred to him later when he figured it out, but I still don't know how he figured it out. Maybe because of the kiss combined with what Artie was saying. Like, maybe after he thought about Artie's conversation, he said, oh, something's wrong.
Yeah.
They never really tell us how he figured it out. I mean, they say it's when she kissed him, but I don't feel like that's when he figured it out.
I don't think so, too, because sometimes his actions didn't fit it. Because even when Gary had the chip, when she saw them at the table, she thought Gary had a chip, and that's one of the reasons why she was going to his room, following him, but he didn't.
No, because he had given it to, I want to call her Joe all the time.
I know.
Right before Micah kissed Pete, they were at the door of their room.
Right.
And he wanted to gamble more, and she didn't want him to because he looked terrible. It wasn't just his hands. He looked a mess.
Yeah, it drained him.
Yeah, so he slipped it in her pocketbook. And when she walked by is when Micah and Pete kissed.
Right. She didn't know then that he slipped it in her pocketbook.
Right.
Kind of sorry for that. But even when she's talking at the door, and, you know, she's telling them him.
Yeah.
Him.
Yeah.
And it was just the stupid the way she said it. Oh, my God. I just wanted to slap her then.
Honey, my key's not working. Hi. Where's him?
Him's not here. What room are you looking for?
My room. Who are you? You're cute.
And you're faking it. You never con a con artist.
It was just, God, it irked me.
And I wrote that down, too. I can't stand the Alice voice. Even,
yeah.
I mean, right then she was pretending to be drunk, and that was annoying. But when she talked to him, because she didn't have to pretend to be Micah...
Mm-hmm.
After she was pretending she was drunk, the
right.
voice was driving me crazy.
Even when the giggle.
Mm-hmm. I bet you didn't see that coming.
Oh my God, I couldn't stand that laugh. I was like saying to myself, make it stop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it was awful the whole time in the hotel room because at some point Pete tells her he knows it's not her, and then she goes back into her. Not Micah voice. When she talked to Pete, she kind of used her Micah voice. But when Pete wasn't around, she went back to her Alice voice, and that was annoying.
That was so, I had that. I was like, oh my God. I don't know why sometimes they drop their guard. Pete dropped his guard when he had Micah, and she kicked his ass.
Yeah, she did.
I shouldn't say that. I mean, I wrote down kick butt, but unfortunately it came up with the A.
That's all right.
She actually kicked his butt.
She did.
And I'm saying to myself, you know, you're at a point where you're in control, and then all of a sudden you drop your guard for a second.
Well, that Alice face in the mirror was scary, though.
Yeah, that'll do it too. I liked how Pete, even with Gary, said, "Oh, you killed him," and then Gary just closed his eyes, like, "Okay."
Right, because and it was good that he got it right away.
Yeah,
and it was also good. He was going to just let them go with the money. When he finally got the coin from, what's her name? I'm going to call her Joe because I forgot her name already.
Yeah.
He told her to just get her husband and go with the money. Right. He didn't care about the money they had.
Yeah, just the artifact. And I probably would have let him go too because they kind of did it right. They only did so much money, like, underneath the radar. They didn't get greedy to that point of staying in one place. They just went to different places. That's a great idea. Some people would have blown it so bad and would have got caught then, because then they start surveillancing you.
Right.
They got cameras on all over the place. Then now it's the watch. Are you counting cars? Duh, this, duh, that. And, you know, then you're brought somewhere. So I thought that was real cool that they only won so much money and then moved down to the next place.
Right.
So the other thing was, after this, they finally figured out everything. You know, they figured out the way to do it, and they knew she was coming back. And I wrote down teamwork, because I do love it when they finally get together and they work as a team.
Yeah, when they shot the laser and it hit something else. Is that what you're talking?
Yeah, because everybody was involved.
That was hilarious when she was standing in front of the mirror and Pete's throwing ping pong balls at her. I mean...
I love Pete.
It's like, what is going on? First, I thought it was, you know, he plays ping pong with himself. And I was like, wait a minute. Is this the person he's playing ping pong with? But then I'm like, no, because he's in the mirror. You know, I just like, what is happening?
Yes, that really got me. And then at one point, it was like, you know, let's go. Let's not even worry about it. And, you know, falls. And then she starts screaming again in the mirror. And they're like, when they lift the mirror, there's Micah. And then Claudia and Leela come. You know, it's just like one big happy family. All right, we're all set. And I think once she talked to Artie, once they had that talk, I think it lifted the air. So it was kind of like, you know, we're good right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I did. Like, what else do you have? I might have missed something.
Well, back at the beginning, Artie's fixation with McPherson causes a lot of tension between him and Lena.
Uh-huh.
Stopping McPherson is not your job.
My what? Protecting the world happens to be my job. And right now, that is being threatened by an insane ex-warehouse agent who is competing for artifacts that belong right out there.
Mrs. Frederick said that she will handle it.
I can do it.
Artie, he ran a sword through your chest.
I'm all right.
You could have died. Please just let Mrs. Frederick handle it, okay?
She knows that he's not supposed to go after McPherson. And we know Artie is going to get obsessed with the whole thing. You know, Lena's pointing out to him, not very quietly, she's mad that he has his agents doing inventory instead of doing his job. There, he has a whole board full of stuff that they could be getting, and he's ignoring it because he's so fixated on McPherson.
This is your job, Artie. And you're not doing it. You have Pete, Micah, and Claudia spread out through the warehouse, taking inventory for you day after day. Meanwhile,
things are piling up.
Yes, they are.
Right, yep. Mm-hmm.
And like we said, Micah's still very upset with Artie. And that talk, yes, I think it did help, like you said. But the end, when she comes out of the mirror and hugs Pete, and it looks like she's not going to hug Artie, the face...
Right.
The look on Artie's face, that little flash that he had on his face when he thought she wasn't going to hug him, too, was heartbreaking.
Yeah.
But she does hug him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that was good. Yeah. And then you were talking about Claudia and Pete. They bonded so quickly to each other. They're like brother and sister because she's basically a child, even though she's kind of mature for a child. And he's a child. They get along perfectly.
Yes, they do.
It seemed to annoy Artie. And it seemed to annoy Micah, although it wasn't Micah, it was Alice, but still.
Well, even Claudia then, like you said, she noticed something.
She did. There's no way that look on her face was not her wondering what's going on. But I don't understand that. Nobody says a word.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of interesting when Artie was telling Lena about the Alice books. It's the author documenting this particular woman's descent into madness.
Oh.
It's Warehouse 13. I didn't go back and look at it, but he was saying that Lewis Carroll's books weren't actually fairy tales. He was following this woman, this Alice, who was supposedly real in Warehouse 13. She was, I think, did he say schizophrenia? I can't remember.
Lewis Carroll's Alice. So sweet, so innocent, so not rude. This woman was as mad as a hatter. And Charles Dodson, a.k.a. Lewis Carroll, was not writing books. He was chronicling this young woman's descent into a sociopathic madness. Of his books. He didn't write these books. These are warehouse fabrications. Brilliant fabrications to hide the truth by that mirror.
It's kind of interesting, some of the backstories. I'm sure they make them up, some of them, but...
I don't know. Why does that story sound familiar?
I don't know. I didn't look it up to see how true it was, but some of the backstories they tell are kind of cool.
All right, I'm going to have to Google this when we're done.
Let me know what you find. Lena, when she's going through all her records, finds that the other warehouse agents that got the mirror in the first place had trapped Alice in there. But Artie, you know, I know he's been in the artifact business for a long time, but he would not budge.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah, I forgot that part. Yeah, he was being stubborn.
Yes, they got her to start talking and he shuts the machine off. You know, I understand he's got to be cautious, but Claudia does say to him, I know the face of somebody who's trapped.
Right.
I know the look on that face, and he just won't budge. Until finally they come up with a whole explanation, and I really don't understand it, but having to do with the disco ball hitting the mirror.
You know when you hold a mirror up to a second mirror and you get that sort of reflected infinity thing? Well, what happens if that mirror is reflected in something like the Studio 54 disco ball? Is it possible to get some kind of artifact interaction? Something completely unexpected? What if the disco ball goes off and someone is standing in front of Alice's mirror?
Well, I think we know what happened.
Do we really?
Could reflections switch places?
Could people?
And finally it occurs to him that, oh yeah, she tilts her head to the right.
She pulls to the right.
Pardon?
There's something I noticed a couple of minutes ago when Micah's mad at me. She pulls to the right.
She's mad at you now. Has been for about a week.
So is she?
Pulling?
To the right?
You know, finally he's willing to even consider that it's actually Micah in there.
But the thing is, though, that's what Micah's talking about, though.
Right.
That's what Micah's talking about. He's not giving her more or less the benefit of the doubt.
Exactly.
And you're not trusting her.
And he's not willing to listen to anybody.
Right.
But you know what is funny? When we were talking about the money that Gary and Joe, I'm going to call her Joe because, again, I forgot her name. They said they're only a couple thousand away from $5 million when they were walking back to the room.
Mm-hmm.
And she wants him to go to the doctor because his hand's a mess. He looks a mess. You know, he's got bags under his eyes.
Yeah.
And she wants him to go to the doctor. And he won't go to the doctor because they don't have insurance and they have to pay out of pocket. They have close to $5 million that they won, and he's worried about paying out of pocket.
Well, sometimes when you're so used to saying it, it becomes natural. No matter how much money you have, it becomes natural. Can't go because I don't have an insurance. Facing millions of America today.
Right, true. So, like we said, Artie decides to talk to her again after he realizes that, yeah, maybe it is Micah. I did like their talk. She was calm. She didn't scream at him. She wasn't afraid to say exactly what she thought. And right. She wasn't afraid to tell him she doesn't trust him. I think that cleared the air a lot. I don't think she's going to get over it as quickly as he's hoping she will, but I think it cleared the air a lot.
Right.
Because if this didn't happen, they wouldn't have talked about it, period. And she would have been mad forever.
Right. Mm-hmm.
With already horrible things have to happen before he talks about things. I don't think Micah wouldn't have not tried to talk to him. But he's not the talking kind of guy, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, in a way, it's kind of good this happened because they would have never talked about it.
Yeah.
So, here's another thing. Okay, so Pete finally knows it's not Micah in the hotel. He says he's known since she kissed him. He doesn't have his Farnsworth. Don't you think he would have turned on the phone?
I know, really, huh?
You don't have your Farnsworth. You know your partner's not your partner, or so you say. You don't turn on the phone? They have to page him?
Yeah, huh? Yeah, that's right.
Like I said maybe a couple episodes ago, Micah got back to South Dakota pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah, you're right, because she drives up.
And Pete shows up, too. But at least Pete had an explanation for how he got there so quickly. Because when Artie wanted the $10,000 back, he said, well, I had to charter a helicopter to get to South Dakota quickly. But she didn't have any money. We don't know how she got there that quickly.
Right, yeah, you're right. Yep, again, there, there.
When we talked about it a couple episodes ago, actually, I was just editing that episode, so that's why I remembered so clearly that we talked about it. I kind of remembered that happened a lot.
Yeah, you did say that, and you're absolutely right. Yeah. Here she is. And sometimes I'm not thinking, and maybe that's what they're believing the audience is not thinking, because I didn't even think nothing of it.
Apparently, Pete, somewhere along the line, maybe it was when they paged him, knew they were coming up with this plan, because he seemed to be involved in this plan that they had to get her back right in the mirror. But all that time in the hotel that he says he knew it wasn't Micah, he doesn't call anybody?
Yeah.
I know a lot of thought goes into writing these shows, but little things like that bother me.
Yeah, and then people like me, it's just like, okay. You're right. Why does he have the things that he needs on him? You're always supposed to be prepared.
Exactly. And she swiped the Farnsworth from him earlier in the night, and he had to notice it was gone, because at some point, if he did know it wasn't Micah, he would have wanted to report in to Artie, you would imagine. And then we hear about the dark vault, and I'm pretty sure we see the dark vault somewhere along the line, but we only hear about it today. They're going to put the mirror in the dark vault.
Yeah, because she was asking him, what was the line that they used? Pete said something, Artie laughed. I didn't know what that word was.
At the end?
Mm-hmm. There's a word that they use.
Oh, I don't know.
There's a point where he says something to Artie about the dark vault.
I kind of remember that. I remember Pete making a joke, right? Like he always does?
Right.
Yeah, I do remember that, but I don't remember what he said.
And there was something he said, and they went back and forth. But anyways, maybe I'll find it, and then after we can talk about it next week for a minute.
I'll have to make sure we get a clip of that so we know what we're talking about and everybody else knows what we're talking about.
Now we move Alice to the dark vault.
What's the dark vault?
What's better than the egg vault?
Yeah, no, the dark vault. You've never seen the dark vault? Yeah, I'm going to hazard a guess here. You're never going to want to see the dark vault after we move that to the... Okay, you get the... No, you know what? Let's do this tomorrow.
The rest of them look like they didn't know.
Yeah, I don't think anybody did know except Artie. There's places in that warehouse during this series you'll see that nobody's ever heard of.
He's heard of it because Pete said the word and Artie laughed.
I remember what you're talking about. I think it was just Pete being Pete and making a joke. I don't think he actually knew what it was or has ever heard of it before. It didn't seem to me that he knew about it. Because, you know, Pete has to make a joke about everything.
Right.
I don't think any of them know about it. Maybe Lena, but I don't think any of the others know about it.
Well, I guess we'll be finding that out in future episodes.
Yeah. Because I'm pretty sure we see it eventually.
Mm-hmm.
That's about all I have for this episode.
I didn't have anything else, but I liked it. And, you know, I enjoyed it. It kept moving. And actually, it seemed like it went by real fast, too.
It did, yeah.
Yeah, because even when I restarted it, I kept on going back. And I'm going, oh, no, Kim, that is the beginning of it.
That's right, because the beginning is when they're fighting in the hotel. They make it look like Pete's the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
That something's happened to Pete, and Micah's trying to talk him down. So if you don't have anything else, we will see you next week for episode 9.
All right. Have a great day.
Okay, you too. Bye.
Bye.
Little known but apropos fact, by the way, Stephen Rubell, who was one of the co-founders of Studio 54, he considered calling his club Wonderland.
Okay, DC, tell us what's next.
Join us next time for season 1, episode 9. We quit. Bye now.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, this is Doug Gramley reminding you to follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/the13thwarehouse, on Twitter and on Instagram at Eureka_warehouse, on our website at 13thwarehouse.com or on Podbean. The music for the 13th Warehouse, Reflections in the Mirror by Esther Garcia under her standard license. See you next time in the 13th Warehouse.